We want to turn now to the rather surprising comments from federal prosecutors this week that they said they may have to dismiss the case against two aides to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. The prosecutor said if the judge in the case does not reconsider his proposed jury instructions, the case will be on a, quote, collision course with dismissal. Well, joining us to help make sense of this is former federal judge Nancy Gertner. She's WBUR's legal analyst and a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio
Good to
Boston.
Be here.
So it's a little complicated here, and we're asking you to help us understand. There were two aides to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, Kenneth Brissett and Tim Sullivan. They were accused of pressuring the organizers of the 2014 Boston Calling Music Festival into hiring union labor. Essentially, they are alleged to have threatened to withhold city permits unless union workers were used. And the judge issues these proposed instructions to the jury for their trial, which is scheduled to start at the end of this month. And what exactly is it in the judge's instructions that appear to be causing a problem here?
The judge proposed to instruct the jury that the only way there can be an extortion in this case, which is unlawfully obtaining money under false pretenses or through violence, the only way there can be an extortion is if the defendants got a personal benefit. And since the government's theory here is that these individuals didn't do this for themselves, but they were seeking union jobs, if the requirement is personal benefit, then the government is saying, you know, there would be no case. And they're basing it on the dismissal of some of the charges in the Burho case, which was the Top Chef case.
Oh, so the other case where there was against a union in Boston because of what happened. So essentially there were some evolving legal standards here that may have made that changes essentially the prosecutor's narrative.
That's right. I mean, essentially, you know, there's the extortion statute on the one hand. You cannot force money or other benefits under false pretenses or through violence. But there's also protection for labor unions. Labor unions can essentially threaten a strike. Labor unions can do all sorts of things that are independently protected under the federal law. The case involving the Top Chef case involved union organizers who went to these companies and said, I know you've hired non-union people, but you must hire union people. Mm. And the court held that really was not, they were seeking jobs for themselves and their union members, and that really wasn't, that was protected under the labor laws. That is essentially the kind of force that people are allowed to exercise under the protection for labor union activity. Brissett is different because these were city officials. They were not union agents of the union, as the court found. And so what the judge is saying is, as to them, the issue is whether they personally benefited. And the government is saying that if it is personal benefit, they didn't receive money, they didn't get a job, then they don't have a case.
Hmm. So essentially, was the case kind of weak to begin with?
Well, if a case can be, undone by a single instruction, it was a three-legged stool, right? And you took away one leg. So then it's a problem. But, I mean, it's an ongoing – it's an issue about sort of refining, changing standards with respect to political corruption cases on the one hand, and the court trying to deal with what's the line between legitimate union activity and illegitimate union activity. Brissett is different because it's an official saying, you know, I want – you know, hire union people.
Right.
But I, you know, it's a complicated question because there are union representations on almost every board in Boston, so that advocating for union jobs is sort of built into the DNA of the city.
So there's nothing legally, really, in terms of there's no like definitive legal line as to when a city official is not or has crossed and gone into illegal territory.
Right. The line is certainly ambiguous. Language in the First Circuit's decision in the Top Chef case certainly supports what the judge did. There's a general proposition here that with criminal statutes, you really want to err on the side of more narrowly applying them. And then if the government doesn't like that, they can seek to change the statute. So the judge has support for what he has done.
Hmm. How unusual is it for you to hear from prosecutors in a case like this, who say, who call it a collision course to dismissal.
Well, it's very unusual, and it's also not usual for the judge to telescope what his instructions are going to be in advance of the trial. I mean, ordinarily a judge would hear the trial, and then the instructions would be drafted during the course of the trial. So he gave the government an opportunity to see the instructions in advance, and it is unusual for the government to say, if you give those instructions, we won't have a case. That is unusual.
So before we run out of time, I want to ask you about some cases before the Supreme Judicial Court this week. Two were argued on Tuesday. The first was about whether a law is constitutional that bars people from voting unless they're registered 20 days before the election. Now, the plaintiffs argue that the law disenfranchises qualified voters, but Secretary of State Galvin argues that the 20-day rule is necessary to ascertain voter qualifications and to run orderly elections. So what do you make of that first case?
Well, it's a very interesting case. What the ACLU is arguing is that technological changes have made it very easy to make the kinds of changes, the kinds of corrections, the kind of checking that the Secretary of State wants to have, and that in addition, we allow early voting 5 days after the registration period is complete, and that essentially these new voters should be treated the same way. So it's a very interesting argument.
And the other case is that was before the SJC was about whether the state can bar corporations from making political donations. Can you explain?
Well, on the one hand, labor unions and not-for-profits can make political donations in state elections, but corporations are barred by state law, and the corporations are saying that they are similarly situated with labor unions and not-for-profits, and the law shouldn't make a distinction. The other side is saying that corporations are different, that essentially corporations can flood the market for a particular candidate in ways that others can't. It's our mini Citizens United when you think about it.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
There's a lot at stake in that.
There's a great deal at stake. There's a great deal at stake. And it's not at all clear which way the court will go.
Hmm. All right. Well, former federal judge Nancy Gertner, she's WBUR's legal analyst and a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, is the Me Too movement affecting Catholic nuns? I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.